Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father God of heaven, Father of all light, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for today. Please make our minds fertile to be able to harvest that which is positive, that which is beautiful and essential to continually living here on this earth, making sure that we coincide collectively as a unit and in harmony. We come with thanks. We come with gratitude to you. You who sees all, knows all. Thank you for your time and your energy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what's happening, y'all? How y'all doing out there in listeners land? Street View Podcast from the Dallas Public Library. We are sitting together on the second show of the second season. I have a ton of beautiful guests from the Stew Pot, from the library. You know, we got the queen, Miss Jasmine. We also have Back on My Feet, which is an organization I think you guys will be interested to learn a whole lot about. And that's what we have planned for today. We got the captain in the building, Mr. Ryan, commissioning this thing on the ones and twos. Today, our guest on the show will be Miss Gina Parker and also Mr. Andre Woodson. Before we get started with them, I just kind of want to talk a little bit about some alternate service providers, what they do and how we look at each other. I recognize that as an individual who's been helping individuals for a very long time, sometimes the people we intend to help don't get help. And when I think about that, I draw strength from biblical studies and also from different things, different intellectual companies and parties. One of the things me and my co-host talked about was Isaiah 1:17. We talked about Isaiah 1:17 because what happens there is I once had asked God, what is it that you value? I generally really, really wanted to know because I was reading Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life. It said, if Jesus came back, would we really, really know him? And would we accept him? Would we value what he values? So I asked God, well, what is it that you value? And the passage of scripture came up, which was God goes in like for the first 16 verses, like, man, I don't like you guys. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. And then he always comes up with a his segue into salvation and redemption in some sort. So he says, verse 16, he says, at the end of it, he says, cleanse, or should I say, he says, wash yourselves or cleanse yourselves, put away the evil of your doings. And then he says, cease to do evil. And this verse 17 says the things that God values, because this is the verse that I asked about. What is it that you value? He says, or the Bible says, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And so as a service provider, I generally find myself in one of those categories. I'm either trying to seek justice and ask, well, what do you think about this and that and the third? Like, what do you think about the efforts that we make? So when I start this show, I want to start talking to Miss Gina about what they've heard, what they've done, because I found out Back on My Feet contacted us and really, really wanted to know, well, or really, really wanted to find out if they could be on the show. And started talking back and forth with Jasmine, and Jasmine informed me, and I really want to ask Miss Gina right now if it's okay.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
What do you think about the show?
We're amazed by the show. And let me start off first by just saying thank you for calling me Miss Gina. It makes me feel very important today. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
but we actually... One of the things that we try very hard to do is to get the word out about our program and the wonderful services that we offer. And although we are part of a national group, we're still not as big as other nonprofits, and so we try very hard to educate the community, talk to people in the facilities, and just get the word out, because I think our program is wonderful. And so as we were researching and looking, we came across this podcast. And of course, you know, it's great. What you all are doing is great, because I don't think, quite frankly, that the community gets enough information about some of the challenges that we face with homelessness. And any and every chance that you have to be able to talk about it, educate people, ask questions, offer information, anything, which your podcast do in a great deal and in various ways, we want to be a part of that. So we were very excited. We did reach out to you, and luckily you took us up on the offer. So thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on the show. Let's talk a little bit about the program.
Yeah, it's...
It's
wonderful. It's a wonderful program. It is very unique. I like to say it's the icing on the cake of what the food shelter component offers. So we collaborate with four major shelters here in Dallas County, and those are Dallas Life, The Bridge, The Salvation Army, and the VA, which houses a good part of the veterans. And we work with them to, frankly, recruit people for our program. The difference with our program is it's the only program of its kind that also focuses on fitness and running, and really more of a holistic approach, if you will. It's not just about the food shelter. It's not about running people in mass numbers through the facility and through classes. It's not about proving to fundraisers that we have the most numbers that come through our program. What's unique about us is that we purposely keep our numbers very low. We want one-on-one attention. We want one-on-one mentorship. We want that friendship to develop. And we frankly use the concept of running and wellness to get people back on their feet.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's you guys' goal, what you hope to accomplish is, I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the best thing about it is you don't realize how much these individuals stand out in our programs. I mean, at any given time, a shelter can see hundreds of people just in one day. And the fact that we can take a handful of individuals, bring them in, and kind of shelter them as our own family to where they feel that comfortable, they stay in touch, they look forward to coming back. And in many cases, we serve as their family unit. So we use running as the, I like to say, the cover-up. It's our disguise. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's about becoming, you know, confident, feeling great about yourself, changing the way that you feel about yourself and the confidence that you have. Because we all know if you don't feel good about yourself, no matter what classes you take or, you know, how many shelters you go through, you're not going to feel motivated to take the next step. And that is the concept of our program.
Talk to me a little bit about some of you guys' success stories. I mean, you got any, like, favorites in particular?
Success stories sitting right beside me here. I mean, the fact that, you know, again, what we try to do is use the running as our individuals are racking up milestones, running races, all the exciting things that they get to do. What we try to do is offer them different resources. And in the end, a goal to us, something that we can be very proud of, is for people to get back on their feet, become self-sufficient. And by that, we mean whether it's able to move out of the shelter, get housing of their own, secure a job, whether it's part-time or full-time. Or sometimes, for many, they want to go back to school. You know, they want to go back to whether it's a vocational school, community college. Some of them get to finish their GED. Any steps that they can take moving forward that can put them in a better position, those are very prideful, you know, bragging rights, if you will. We love our bragging rights. So a few success stories, actually. There is a gentleman that I met pretty much my first month when I started, and he was at the VA, and his name was Jerry, and they were celebrating. It had been our first year since that team had started. And he came up to me, called me Miss Gina also, so it sticks fondly with me. But, you know, he just started talking to me about back on my feet and started telling me all the great things. And at the time, he had just enrolled in some college classes, speech class, actually, and had to give a speech. And guess what it was on? So what's neat is to be a part of an organization and to not have to sell your own clients on it. So the great thing was, as I'm listening to this man, you know, this veteran who's been through so much, has fought for us, done all of these great things, and he's talking to me about our programs and how wonderful they are, and seeing his excitement and his enthusiasm, right away I knew that I had joined something really great. Today, Jerry is volunteering. He works with elementary school kids. He is enrolled full-time in college. He also has activities in softball and baseball leagues and is very active running and is training now to participate in a Dallas marathon in December.
That's awesome. That's excellent. Since you brought up the secret weapon on my right, we'll talk to Mr. Andre Woodson right after we come back. So on the show, we got Andre Woodson. Andre, I wanted to ask you, is there anything specifically you want to talk about?
Well, I think the thing is, when you get your own place, it's you have all these choices that you have to make, you know, and for a lot of people, I know for me, it was a challenge because you got to pay that rent, you got to have food in there, and you just have so many different choices that you're faced with. And, you know, part of my deal is that I have what they call dementia. And so I go through things where I get where I need to get, but sometimes I have to think about it. I really have to concentrate. Okay, where am I going today? And make sure if I don't have a list, sometimes I don't do certain things that I have down on my list.
I think I might have dementia.
you're a little bit too young for that.
Okay.
But for me, it was because of the whining and dining of clients. I would drink with the best of them as well as eat with the best of them. And, you know, it just, at a certain point, it catches up with you.
Yeah, too much anything, key.
Yeah, this is true.
My co-host always talks to me about Jesus, and I do Jesus all day, every day.
Nah, that's wonderful.
And during the break, me and you were talking about prayer, about the serenity prayer, and how back on my feet, every time you guys start, you guys would do a serenity prayer. I'd see you guys all the time, and I would wonder, like, what's going on over there? It's a circle of people. Are they going to sing Kumbaya? You want to start doing...
We might do that, too.
Yeah. So, my question is, why was that important to you, the serenity prayer?
Well, it was just the fact that that was another organization that you could connect with. And, you know, the fact is that some of the people that I ran with out of the group, there were a couple that I became close to in terms of, you know, going to a movie, just, you know, getting out just by the various events that Back on My Feet have, we kind of connect with each other, and then we go and do whatever we do. And so that was very helpful to me, you know, that connecting with other people, it's very important.
I think communication is that is the link, man. I think we all need that. The connection thing, though, not many people know that everything really, really started around me trying to make an album and start with nothing. And what I really wanted to do was bring about a music program. I needed some horn players for my album because I didn't like synthesized horns. And you were on the cutting floor. You were one of the only people who showed up to my very first meeting about starting a music program. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. Man, I want to first off say thank you, because you believed in me when I didn't pretty much have anybody to believe in me. And second off, I kind of want...
That's all you need. You need somebody believing in you.
Yeah. And thank you. Second off, I want to ask you about promoting Back on My Feet. Have you?
Yes. I mean, when I get opportunities, matter of fact, one of the things that I did was... I was blessed to do a movie, and when I was doing the movie, As often as I could, into various scenes, I would always have the back on my feet hat,
which you have on today.
Yes. Because for people that didn't know, it was like, what is back on my feet? And I would hope they would ask me, because for people out here, it allows you to get yourself started. I mean, and you know, I'm not like a great runner, and you know, sometimes we would be running and I would be straggling behind, just trying to hold on. But the fact is I went out, is, you know, and you know, we get up at ungodly times in the morning, but it's like, you know, it was something to connect with. And I used to have in the group, I'm trying to think of the gentleman, the one on the floor. I would tell him, I said, well, if you're going to run, you know, just tap on my bed and I'll get up and go run too. And so, you know, it helped us get started, you know, just going out and doing that. Just, and, you know, running in the rain as we did some days, you know, you kind of looking at yourself going, why am I doing this? you know, but the fact is that other people did it. And you know, it's like the Bible talks about, there's strength in numbers. Yeah. And, you know, it was other people that had that same craziness. There were some people in the group that were gifted runners. And you know, and I used to see them run, it was nothing to them. I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. And I said, but I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other and keep going until, you know, I get back.
Yeah. I want to kind of talk about the hat. And as a young man who had heard about the program but never actually entered, I ran with you guys once. And that was because of City Square. City Square's Daniel, who works over with them with their Work Pass program. But I have heard about some of the things, like some of the incentives, kind of like that hat. So how does that work from your standpoint? Like, you run a specific amount of miles and then they give you something, or how did that work for you? What did you think?
The fact is you had little achievements, you know, and the more miles that you ran, you know, you'd get this and that. You know, it was really helpful to me because, I was blessed to be able to afford having food, but there are other people, you know, they don't have the resources, and so you don't have the money to always be able to afford food. So just giving out a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, I at one point I sat with just giving out sandwiches, free sandwiches, and people kept looking at me like, what's the catch? It's free, sir. It's free. Just take the sandwich. God bless.
And that was with Back on My Feet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. One of the things I heard, and I guess hearsay, one of the things I heard was that there's a point at which Back on My Feet, just like Gina talked about earlier, if you guys are in school, they'll fund laptops. Or if you guys are headed to your apartment, they'll fund furniture. And so I've really, really been interested in, like, the incentives. Are they the sole motivator for you, or do you see them as sole motivators for other individuals in that group? Do you think people were there just for the stuff, or do you think people actually, their minds evolved as they ran?
I think, you know, in running, and there's something about the fact that you're in a place, and when you're running, it gives you a lot of time to think. And so, you know, you whatever is on your mind, those thoughts come out. And for me, I got a gift certificate from Back on My Feet, and I used it for helping me when I was first getting my apartment. I was blessed that I had some people here or people at the bridge that helped me move all my stuff, because I couldn't carry that stuff. Myself, and all of a sudden, in a very short period of time, we were able to furnish my whole apartment. Right. And I have all the basics. I may only have one pot, but I have everything I need.
Shout out to Goodwill.
Yes.
I mean, yo, man, I was over there yesterday, man. Yeah, needed a hoodie. Bam, $4. but just being, I just wanted to congratulate you, Andre, man, because, you know, I've seen you. I've seen you at the bridge. And, you know, I rarely see you now. But when I do see you, I know that you have, you've climaxed, man. You've climbed past staying there in that same state of mind or staying there in the same place, man, working towards a goal initiative. I'm grateful for you coming on the show. I'm thankful. And I appreciate it. When we come back, we just gonna sit back and talk, y'all, as a group. And I'll have co-hosts lead us in.
Well, Rashad, thank you so much for doing such a great job on this episode. We're so excited to be back for season two and in the building, and even more excited to get Gina on the show with Back on My Feet and Andre. And it's just sort of serendipity because they sort of reached out to us separately, and it just worked out for their schedules and timing that we were able to get them both on the same show.
I love it.
Yeah, and I just want to commend Gina and Back on My Feet. I mean, I think when you have your participants doing the work for you to be your cheerleaders, I think that's probably the ultimate sign of success, is that that's how impactful you've been, is that they're going around making sure they're wearing their hat and making sure people are asking them about it because they know how much it affected them and they want that for other people. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I did want to ask you both, this is really open for both of you, but Andre sort of talked a little bit about the model and incentives, and I'd love to know sort of the thinking behind Back on My Feet. I know that this is the local chapter, so if you could maybe expand upon what is the thinking behind it and the model, and then, and kind of for you, Andre, how did you find it to be different than some of the other more traditional homeless service provider models?
Absolutely. So it started with a young woman running in Philadelphia. She grew up, her dad was an alcoholic, and she found running to be an outlet, you know, just a happy thought. You know, we all have different happy thoughts, and mine's chocolate, but, you know. but anyway, and so on her run, on her routes, she noticed that she was crossing and passing by a homeless shelter. And so, you know, everyone there kind of started noticing that she was running. She'd start to notice them. It got to a point where she would stop and talk to them every morning. They'd look forward to her, you know, hello, and kind of almost became an expected but unexpected friendship. And one morning she stopped and said, do you guys want to run with me? And they did. And from there, it just took off. The facility was able to report lots of statistics and studies just in the pride factor they had, that the change and increase in confidence, all of those things. And so the idea, the concept of Back on My Feet was born, and that was in 2007. So although we are a national organization, we're still very much a baby in our infancy stages, I think. And each year since, we've had different chapters that have launched across the country. So right now we have 11 chapters all the way from LA to New York City. And in Texas, we have a Dallas chapter and an Austin chapter, and we are the only ones pretty much mid-country. So we definitely take pride in that. And I think it's so awesome. I'm so glad Andre's here because he's telling these stories, and I'm just such a sentimental, crazy person. And I love it. I love the fact, and you said this, the fact that, you know, our alumni, our own people that went through these programs and experienced these programs are the ones that are talking about it. And that to me is, I mean, I don't think I could be much more proud of having that. There are so many programs where people don't remember it, don't remember what it was for, don't remember what they got out of it. And I was actually telling him before when we were chatting earlier, I said, you know, I always hear these stories of people telling us how we changed their life or how we helped them or how we did different things. But I said that in the last year that I've been here, I feel like my own life personally has changed. And so it has also affected me in a very impactful and positive way. And I mean, I can't believe it's my job.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I just can't believe I get a cool job. Yeah. So it's
like I get paid to do this and make a difference in people's lives like
it's
this.
It's so great. It's the most wonderful thing. It's great. Yeah. 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 And apparently I joke with everybody, I share this. Apparently at my last job, once I changed jobs, my husband and my kiddos started saying, "Mom, you're so happy now." And I thought, "Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that before?" So when I say that, truly, not only has it personally changed the way that I handle myself, and what I do day to day and how I see things, but my family's involved in it. My husband volunteers and runs, my daughter volunteers and runs, and we just changed the scope of the way that we handle ourselves and how we serve other people and try to help. And so when I say that it is impactful, not only from a professional standpoint to have a wonderful job like this, but also from a personal standpoint. So I kind of get the best of both worlds, I think.
Absolutely. And of course you get to meet great people like Andre and be able to offer them an alternative or supplementary service beyond the traditional housing, food, shelter type of programs that are out there and that are inundated with thousands of people. So Andre, how is this different for you? And what did you try before? And how is this a little bit different for you than the other providers?
Well, for me, I guess, you know, when I was staying at different homeless shelters, I had grown up being an athlete all my life, and this gave me an opportunity to get back involved in some form of athletics. And we had a group. I keep in touch with some of them now because of the fact that we all had, you know, various things. You know, the fact that the Cowboys are doing as well as they are, you know, and there was one gentleman that I used to see on the floor. He was in, you know, he used to always get dressed up as a cowboy in some form or fashion. Yeah, what was that?
Sex.
Yes, I do every now and then. I haven't talked to him lately, but you know, because they're on a roll, so I'm like, okay. If he doesn't hear from me, he'll be all right. But the fact is that it really was important, and I just think that when I used to get the food in terms of the sandwiches, I could hand them out to other people that weren't getting food. And the fact is that some young person was maybe able to have a couple of sandwiches and eat. I just, you know, I was thankful because it wasn't easy going through being in various shelters and learning the choices that you have to make in terms of just washing your clothes and doing all the little things that you got to do to maintain a place. You know, you got to clean up your place every now and then. And so when I did community service, you know, making sure that you're cleaning the toilets, you're cleaning the bath and all that stuff. That's part of a place because, you know, at some point your landlord or somebody's going to come around and go, "My God, he hasn't cleaned this place," and he gets it clean or he has to go. So it's worked out for me.
You know what? I'm really, really grateful for back on my feet because it's a proactive way in solving a situation of homelessness. From what I'm seeing or from what I'm hearing, I'm thinking about, like you said, some of the traditional methods that we use. My question is, how do you guys get the word out about yourselves? Like, if I'm somebody, how do I contact you? How do I find out?
That's a great question. And actually, the answer to that is one that we continue to improve on and work on every day. We obviously work very heavily with the shelter facilities and getting that message out. One of the things that we've tried to edit or alter a little bit is being more open with our program, spending time in the facilities ourselves. I mean, we've even, you know, we're a
a fun, cheesy group, I think. But we'll even go out to the facilities and take popsicles and say, it's, you know, it's cool to be on back of my feet. Or, you know, I mean, the thing is that we just want that opportunity for anyone and everyone in the facilities to come and talk to us, to ask us questions, to be able to see what we're all about and hear it from us rather than, you know, and even though the staff are great, but sometimes it's different visiting with us, you know, in the facilities versus some of the staff that are there. You know, they get to talk to them an awful lot, and I think it's different hearing it from us. And, of course, groups like you all, any types of media, education, websites, social media, anything and everything, we try to be aggressively moving on. There was something mentioned that you stated earlier about the financial aid, and things like that, you know, require money. And because we are a small group and many people do not know about us, funding is always an everyday challenge for us, because without that funding, we can't provide all of these things that, you know, that we've talked about. So that's very important for us too. But most definitely getting out there, I think we're a group that has fun. And I think when people see us, like yourself, and you see the groups and going, what are those people doing circled up? You know,
circle of people.
It's almost, you know, our attendance, our presence everywhere gets people riled up. They want to know who we are and what we do and what we're about. And so we make it a point to be very loud and politely obnoxious and right. to have a lot of fun with what we're doing.
No, you know what? That's the best way to be. Is running, though, the most healthy thing to do for people who are on their feet like 24/7 for homeless individuals?
The great thing is that it's the choice of the individual. So if someone wants to come and they want to walk with us a little bit, that's okay. If someone wants to come and they want to take off like Speedy Gonzalez, that's okay. The great thing is we try to be very respectful of their time because, and I've gotten this question a lot, you know, what do people in the homeless facilities have to do? What could they possibly do? And my response is everything. They have so much going on. You know, they have more things to do than I do. So to be respectful of their time, get them out. I mean, it's maybe about 20, 30 minutes max of a run. But a lot of that time is our circle up, both starting and ending, talking about different announcements, you know, achievements, milestones, as he mentioned, incentives. There's lots of fun to it besides the running. But I think those who are interested and really committed and really want to be a part of something special won't let that word scare them off.
Well, Rashad, you mentioned that it seems like they're working towards solving towards some of the solutions to homelessness. And so that idea lends to, okay, well, what are some of these root causes of homelessness and how are these different approaches, how are their solutions telling us about what they perceive to be some of the causes and some of the causes of homelessness? So I wanted to ask you both a little bit about sort of your perceptions of how Back of My Feet is part of the solution towards ending homelessness in individuals, and how that relates to sort of mental health and self-esteem and self-worth and all those other health and wellness related items.
I think the great thing about Back on My Feet is that when we're together as a group. We show up in our running gear. No one is different. No one is dressed differently. No one is treated differently. And that in itself, I think, needs to be the first step that everyone takes in changing that perception. Because if there's one thing, and I knew this before, but even being here at this job and with all of my experiences, homelessness is not what it used to be years ago, and there's that stigma, that perception there. And I have to really calm myself down in some instances when I'm talking to people and they ask me questions like, how would you get a homeless person to run? Or, you know, how would you get them to do this? And it's really upsetting to me, that perception. And the great thing is we try to bring out our supporters. We try to bring out volunteers. And most of the time in our circle ups, they don't even know who's a volunteer or who's a member at the facility. And that's what's so great about it. And by having those conversations, talking, having a great time, and to learn later that that person is someone residing in that facility, that changes everything.
Yeah, I had a friend listen to the podcast, and he really wasn't too familiar with issues with homelessness or anything like that. And when he listened to the first episode, Rashad holds out in saying that he is homeless until probably midway through. And, you know, he's established this rapport with his audience the first 20 minutes or something. And then, bam, he lays it on you. And I think that that in itself, just like when they're circling up, because they now have a foundation, they have established some sort of perception, initial perception of a person. And then when you throw that off by giving them new information, then that has to change their perception of what they thought of homelessness.
And I think if we can all do that and we can change perceptions, even of one person every day, and make them reframe their thinking of that, I mean, that helps me to sleep just a little bit better at night, because it's so different. And one other thing that I share with people is I can count, I mean, five different situations that some of our members have gone through that I have also gone through. Who's to say that that would not be myself or one of my family members? Everyone is the same. We all go through the same things. We experience the same things. And again, I think our program stands out because the main focus is changing that perception. And again, like you said, who gets out and goes and runs, and, you know, in the crazy rain, as Andre said, at 5:45 in the morning, people that are motivated and people that want to change their life and take steps forward, that's who.
Thank you guys for facilitating that. And Andre, I really want to know from your point of view, what's your perception of homelessness?
Well, you know, it you never know when it's going to happen, because you have situations where your expenses are more than what you're bringing in, and you know it can happen to anybody. And one of the classic situations that I had a friend up on the floor talk about, if we took, and let's say we went to a basketball game and you had two people sitting next to you, and they're talking about the game, blah blah, and one of them turns to the other and say, "Oh, you know, I'm homeless." You couldn't tell the difference. They're both sitting there enjoying the sport, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, and there's no difference. There really isn't, until they say it. You don't know it, and so it's just it's a humbling thing.
And people shouldn't think someone is different. And when you've established that shared experience with somebody and they see first and foremost what you have in common and how you are the same, then homeless just seems like a artificial label, a trivial label that we put on someone, a person, as opposed to seeing someone as homeless before you see them as a person.
One of my greatest secrets, my secrets to change your perception is to ask individuals to judge me. That is something we talked about with the Bible verse that we initially started with, because one of the very first part of that verse, it says seek judgment, in a sense. So what happens is I'll take myself and put myself in the position of asking you, what do you think about me? And what happens is, In intrinsically, individuals, they look at themselves. I'm not in a position to judge, am I? And then they begin to question their own ability to judge, and they think about themselves. And it has been one of my greatest secrets, because what happens is they then become humble. They make the decision, well, I'm not equipped to make that judgment about you. And so in accord with Back on My Feet and how you guys have worked tirelessly and effortlessly. Well, now y'all put a lot of running into it. How you guys, a lot of effort. How you guys have worked. I want to just thank you on behalf of all homelessness, all homeless in Dallas and in all of the 11 chapters all around the United States. Thank you, Ms. Jada, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Also, Andre, man, bro, like, I really, give me a hug, man.
I think I can do that.
Thank you. No charge for it.
Thank no you, charge man. This time. First man, one's free.
Like we talked about, man, me and Andre, man, we go back, man. And people,
yes, sir.
In case people did not know, you did go through the bridge and its hoops and its chutes and ladders, and you have come on the out on the other side of it. And individuals who are in my shoes, who are actually striving toward where you are, can learn a lot from this. And I'm grateful that you came on the show. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I generally was told not to do words, but I'm going to give you the word freedom because it's a part of a poem that I'm going to use. And it talks about, this poem talks about pretty much everything we've talked about. Back on my feet builds confidence within an individual. Freedom is what we're trying to attain. We're trying to attain a freedom of peace between one another. So with the word freedom, please, give yourself some time to think on this. Do you have it? Is it in you to continue to move every mountain, set every venue? Will you use it? Will you work it or let them jerk it, snatch it right from under you and tell you you ain't perfect? Is it worth it? Do you believe anything you put your mind to and that thing you can succeed? What do you breathe? Is it the figment of imagination or the duration of one man in his nation? Why don't you face it? Stare square off in the eye, punch it in the chest and say, I'm happy you're alive. Why do you strive? I can feel it. Can't you feel it? It's way deep down in my spirit. Won't you help me to reveal it? It's freedom. So you guys, man, thanks for listening to the show today, man. I'm grateful that you all listened. And please feel free to give all kinds of feedback. We need it so that we can continue to perpetuate love from one to another. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.